success of President Ford's recent campaign swinging through the South?
I think it's a little early, but it had a great impact. The president was very pleased with the trip, I understand, and I assume there'll be some follow-on surveys. The president then will take a look at these and other campaign people, and then we'll really know what our chances are in the South. Seems to me there's a great deal of movement there. I think they're picking up every day, but we've got to remember that Carter had a pretty good lead going in.
How confident are you that you're cutting into Carter's South right now?
Well, we're confident because the polls indicate that. It shows, for example, in Mississippi, we're only 3 points behind. Now, a month ago, when everything was, about 7 weeks ago, and we were still at a big primary contest on, and Carter was on sort of a honeymoon after their convention. He had a tremendous lead everywhere in the South. We've really cut into that lead.
Your visit here today is mainly to woo rural Republican votes, the farming vote. What are you going to tell farmers? What can the Republican Party do for them this year?
Well, we want to not only visit with farmers, Dave, but small businessmen and Democrats and independents who are concerned about the future of this country. As far as agriculture is concerned, we want to give the farmers more freedom to plant, essentially the same program, increase the loan rates, adjust the target prices, and then, as the President has indicated, I would have a very major role the next 4 years in our export policies, because I firmly believe the future of agriculture is tied to what we can export. And it just seems to me that we're on the right track, and I hope most farmers will assess our program against the no program advocated by Carter.
Hasn't the grain embargo, though, hurt you as the Republican Party?
It hurt some early on, but then Carter has fuzzed it up so much with his several positions. He said in Reader's Digest that there was excessive grain sales to Russia, which probably means, if you look at it any reasonable way, that he wouldn't have sold wheat to Russia either. So I think any way you cut it, we offer the farmer the best hope.
Senator Dole, you told the American Bankers Association that you would have a significant role in agricultural policymaking as vice president. In light of that, how do you view President Ford's 1974 and 1975 grain embargoes, and for that matter, the possibility of future grain embargoes?
Well, I think I'll answer the last part first. I think the possibility of any future embargoes is very slim, but I want to make it clear, and the farmers understand this, but for those who don't, that we had a crop failure or had some emergency in this country where our domestic supplies were threatened. We're going to take care of America's consumers first. After all, they should have first call on what we raise in this country. But my point is we should have unfettered access to the markets in any other situation. And that's what President Ford has said we'll have. Let's face it, the last embargo in particular hurt the president, but there were a great many pressures on the president from organized labor, the Maritime Union, from George Meany, from liberal Democrats in the Congress, from consumer groups. The president halted shipments temporarily, worked out a long-term arrangement with Russia, but we did get hurt some of that, no doubt about it. But Governor Carter has a number of positions. I think farmers are going to stick with us.
Along those same lines, Senator Dole, you supported an emergency farm bill in 1975, which Ford vetoed. Do you foresee any problems working with President Ford in light of that?
No, I don't think so. I supported the bill, and he vetoed it. The veto was sustained. I felt it was a mistake, but that's a judgment I made. I'm on the Agriculture Committee. We'd worked out what we thought was a pretty good nonpartisan approach to increase the target prices, but the president saw it differently. And again, as I've said, he has to take a look at the whole country. And as it turned out, the bill would not have been of any great help to farmers. So I think probably his judgment was all right.
Senator Dole, President Ford has said that he favors giving a tax break to the middle-income taxpayers, those earning from $8,000 to $30,000 a year. How can he promise that with a proposed deficit this year of $52
million? Well, see, that's the thing about President Ford. He not only advocates tax cuts, he advocates a way to pay for them, as opposed to Governor Carter, who's running around the country saying, I'll give you anything you want, don't worry about the cost, we'll figure that out later. With that tax cut, it's a dollar-for-dollar tax cut coupled with a cut in federal spending, and that's the difference in the Ford administration. And that's what the American people can expect, honest, decent, open government where he lays it on the line, and I think the American people can then take after their congressman or their senator, and I'm one of them. If we refuse to cut spending, then it's pretty hard to have a tax cut.
Senator Dole, do you feel that President Ford and Governor Carter discussed all the important domestic issues in last week's debate?
Well, frankly, I'd hope they'd touch on agriculture more, and I'm just looking at it maybe from a parochial view, but it's very important. I think President Ford mentioned agricultural exports. Beyond that, there was very little discussion, but they discussed the things they were asked, and I thought the questions were very good. They were tough, not hostile, but tough, and so I assume they were somewhat limited by the questions they were asked. It was a good debate. I think it might be a few too many statistics, but they both did a good job. I just believe that the polls indicate across the country that President Ford was a clear winner.
Senator Dole, you yourself have a debate coming up the week of October 11th with Walter Mondale. What are you looking for in that debate?
Well, I'm looking for a lot of things. Though I think both Senator Mondale and I would understand that we're somewhat limited by what our leader, President Ford in my case and Carter in his, have said. And of course, we support their programs. We support their candidacy. We're not policymakers. We can't say that in the first 100 days of the Ford-Dole administration, I'll do this, because I'll do what the president suggests I do in the first 100 days. And Mondale can't say in the first 100 days of the Carter administration, I'll do this, because he'll do what Carter suggests in the first 100 days. I don't mean that we're totally subservient. At least I'm very independent, but we have those constraints. It'll be a good debate, hopefully, on the issues.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have tried to phase out the Appalachian Regional Commission. You're in an area now where that's played a key role in development. Can you give us a pledge now that the Ford-Dole ticket, if elected, is going to continue funding the ARC at the present level?
Well, I can't make that pledge. I'm the second man on the ticket, but I can only say that I was served on the Public Works Committee with Senator Jennings Randolph, who's been the leader in that program, and in addition to Appalachia, we also added some other regional commissions. I think they're a good program, just give you my personal view. I've always felt, and we've had experience in our state with the Ozarks Commission, it seems to me that they've, particularly Appalachia, has been an outstanding program. The others were patterned after the pioneer in the group. I give my personal view, but I can't make a pledge, of course, for any administration.
The reason I ask is that some administration officials in the past in the budget area have suggested that specially funded regional programs like that can't last forever.
Well, I see their point. I think they think it ought to be integrated. We ought to have some block grant program. But until I see something that I think might better serve the people, that's what it's all about. It's not the question whether we name it one name or change the program. If we can revise something and have a more effective program at less cost, I'll be for it. But I don't know what they have. What are the alternatives?
There are record numbers of poor in the country. The report I'm sure you've seen came out over the weekend. Many of them in this section of Ohio and northern West Virginia. Lyndon Johnson came up with a war on poverty. What do the Republicans offer the poor in this country in terms of help for the future?
I think basically we offer them a sound economy, and we try to lower the rate of inflation. And it's hard to articulate. You know, if you're in need, you want somebody to stand up and promise you're going to give them more money, more food, more something. And all that time you've got inflation running rampant, eating away at anything you may have yourselves, and even welfare costs or food stamp costs or whatever. So I don't think any responsible politician, Democrat or Republican, should go to the second step before he said, first, we're going to cut the rate of inflation. So you'll have the same dollar the first of the year you're going to have at the end of the year. Now, President Ford's cut that in half. In addition, we've been looking at reforms in the food stamp program. I've co-sponsored, as you know, with Senator McGovern, food stamp reform to try to weed those people out who shouldn't be on the program, but let others come in who haven't been in the program who really should qualify.
Do you think that the Ford-Dole ticket can do well in November because Ronald Reagan was the big victor in the primaries down here this summer?
Right. Ronald Reagan ran very well, but that's behind us now. Reagan is supporting President Ford. I think Reagan may have had some input on my being on the ticket. We believe it's going our way. There's a great deal of movement in this campaign away from Mr. Carter, toward President Ford. And it's a tough race. It's going to be a close race, but it's no longer 32 points or 20 points. It's down to 6 or 7 or 8, depending on what poll you look at.
Senator Dole, you must have a special reason for coming to southeastern Ohio, where you may have had some ancestors. Is there some special reason why you picked Marietta?
Well, the surveys also indicate that in certain parts of Ohio and Illinois, we should be doing better. And this is one of those spots. And we recognize that there are some problems, that some areas are strength that needs to be firmed up. And I'm not suggesting that I can do that, but at least I'm here for President Ford, speaking for the party, and trying to articulate our views and to clarify some of Carter's. So we hope it works.
Senator Dole, what role do you think your debate with Walter Mondale will play in the November election?
Well, I'm not under any illusion. If anyone's watching, it might play some role, but I don't think it's going to be significant. People vote for Ford or Carter. I discovered that if Ford's elected, I'll be elected. We work hard. We've been in 28 states, and I don't think Senator Mondale has any different feeling. We'll have a good debate, don't misunderstand me, but I'm not certain. If 90 million watch Ford and Carter, it'll be way, way down from that. It's on a Friday night. Every high school in the country will be playing football. And, you know, who'll be watching? Maybe our relatives, friends, creditors.
Senator Dole, would you prefer for your debate with Mr. Mondale to provide cross-examination of the candidate by each other?
I don't know. I think we're somewhat constrained by what President Ford would like me to do and what Governor Carter would like him to do. We don't want to rock the boat for either one of I don't want to rock the boat for President Ford. There's going to be a meeting on Thursday in Atlanta concerning our debate. Perhaps it'll all be settled in.
Senator Dole, unemployment is in Washington County is higher than the national average. What will the election of the Ford-Dole ticket mean regarding the solution of the unemployment problem?
Well, we're headed in the right direction. We've reduced the inflation rate in half. The private sector is coming back. It's gearing up. The economy's sound. And the sounder the economy, the less the unemployment. In addition, President Ford, if it should be necessary, has suggested legislation in Congress which provides certain tax incentives to business who moved into depressed areas, and that would pick up the unemployment slack. That has not been passed by the Congress. We just believe that's another factor. But essentially, it's trying to get a hold on federal spending, trying to curb inflation, and thereby pick up the unemployment slack.
Will President Ford be able to work with the Democratic-controlled Congress? You mentioned in your speech this afternoon that for 22 years the Democrats have ruled. If he's elected and you're elected, will you be able to pass some of the things you've been trying?
Well, we're not so anxious to pass many things. It's someone said, never sit next to a legislator at dinner, they never pass anything. That wouldn't be a bad theory for a while. I think we've had so much passed. We'd like to go back and take a look at the programs, whether it's food stamps or whether it's some other program, and save some of the administrative costs, administrative error, tighten them up, and make the benefits more meaningful. But President Ford has worked with the Congress. He's a creature of the Congress. In addition, there's the other side of that coin. Many Americans sort of believe in a split government. They like to have some check and balance. If you put a liberal president in the White House, like Carter with a liberal Congress, like we have now, it'd be Katie bar the door. Everything's going to pass, and he's going to sign everything. I don't know what happens to the poor taxpayer.
Senator Dole, you've been on a Senate committee investigating the Unification Church of Reverend Moon. What do you think of that organization?
Well, you know, you get into the question whether or not it's a religion, whether it's protected by the First Amendment. We simply held an unofficial you can't call it a hearing because there was no testimony taken. It was just an effort for some of the parents in my state and other states who wanted to learn more about the Moon Organization, who wanted to express themselves about the Moon Organization. We didn't take any testimony. I understand now a House committee is looking into it. That has been my only contact with this particular movement. I have my own views about Reverend Moon. It just seems to me that there's something there that doesn't quite add up, but he's making a great deal of money, or someone's making a great deal of money.
How much farther will the House and Senate carry the investigation?
I don't know. I've been sort of out of touch now for the past several weeks. And you get into a very difficult area here. As Reverend Moon says, or he spoke, if you're going to investigate me, what about others? But I think the IRS and others have some little jurisdiction if you're going to be tax exempt. They're buying a lot of property in New York. Some are concerned about the tactics they use, and of course they're concerned about the tactics some of the parents use. I just think we need to know more about it. They had a big rally in Washington here a while back. They spent a great deal of money on fireworks, and many people came. I'm not certain whether they came to hear Reverend Moon or they came to see the fireworks. But I think a little consideration would be healthy.
Thank you very much, Senator Robert Dole, for WMOA News. Bill, what a stop. Get the Hotel Lafayette.
Okay.
This prepared question first. I read the newspaper that last Friday the Senate Foreign Relations Committee voted to stop a proposed $30 million arms sale of Maverick missiles to Saudi Arabia. And that's a portion of a total of $6 billion worth of arms sales the administration is proposing to 14 countries.
Right.
Why is it necessary, for instance, for the United States to sell so much hardware abroad? And do you agree with the Senate's decision? I understand, I think, from a later report that the administration has, or the Senate has turned that around now.
Right.
Go ahead.
I probably shouldn't comment because I don't have the facts, but I understand, that, and again, I'm based on what I've read, that Senator Sparkman withdrew the resolution objecting to the sale. I don't know what the status is today. I understand that also the administration is working with House and Senate members to try to work out some, not compromise, but some accommodation to get the thing passed. I think we have to have a balanced policy in the Mideast. Beyond that, whether we're going to go up to, what was the figure, $6 billion?
$6 billion.
You know, I think we're going to have a hard look at everything that's done. The Congress is scrutinizing arms sales and everything else with more care, and I don't quarrel with that.
And you mentioned in your speech, sir, that you actually didn't come out with your, I think, your position on gun control, but you said that Jimmy Carter is supporting a registration of handguns. I thought that was the gist of what you were saying.
Right, it's in their platform. He made that speech in Montana, I understand, much to the chagrin of Congressman Melcher, who wants to be a Democrat senator from that state. We immediately issued a statement in disagreement. I voted to limit sale and distribution imports of so-called Saturday night specials. That's as far as I intend to go.
You don't think there should be a national registration then?
Well, I'm convinced that we better be looking the other direction. We ought to impose stiffer penalties for anybody using handguns or any gun for that matter. I'm also convinced that registration, while it appears harmless, it does nothing to the fellow who wants to commit a crime with a gun. He's going to find a gun somewhere. He's not going to register his gun. So you can have the law-abiding citizens lining up and no one else. And once we go to handguns and the next to be sporting guns, and it just seems to me that we can better deal with the criminal element by imposing stiffer penalties, mandatory sentences, depending on the crime, of course. And the whole area is a difficult one because no one wants anyone hurt. But the hardened criminal is going to figure out a way to do it, whether it's a holdup or personal assault or whatever, with or without a gun.
Okay, one more question, Senator. You said you don't anticipate any more embargoes unless there's an emergency. Can you sort of elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, it's you know, the farmers understand, and I think nearly everyone understands, but some in the press who like to strain at a gnat on the question of embargoes, there are a lot of gnat strainers around. You know, if we have a short crop in this country, or if we don't have any reserves, whether it's grain or whether it's anything else that may be manufactured, we're going to have to say to whoever it is, we can't export that. We're going to take care of America first. No one quarrels with that. But beyond that, there are going to be no export embargoes. President Ford said in Kansas City, no embargoes. And he means no embargoes except in those rare, rare circumstances. They may never happen. But it just seems to me that we've got that one possibility. Now, Governor Carter, on the other hand, has taken a number of stands. First, he said vote for Carter and embargoes are ended once and for all. Then he said less than an hour later, except in the case of some emergency. Then he says in the platform, or the platform says, in the Humphrey Hawkins bill, there's going to be export licensing. And the platform says no inflationary grain sales, and says that's the impact of it. Then he says in Reader's Digest in this month's issue that one of the causes of inflation was excessive. He used the words excessive sales of grain to Russia, which must mean, if you look at the word excessive, that we sold too much and they shouldn't have been permitted. So I just think when the farmer looks at all the fuzzy positions that Carter has and the firm position that President Ford has, they're going to consider that along with all the other good that we've done in agriculture in this administration and vote for President Ford.
Today he repeated that pretty do you think that Secretary Butts is a liability to the campaign?
I think Butts had some disagreements with us too. I just don't think, I want to be credible in this area, and I can't run around saying, I didn't have any position. I was one of the few who spoke out against the embargo. I didn't see Senator Mondale or Senator Humphrey or any of the others who now, Humphrey's gone so far as they had violated the law. He set up at the Farm Fest in Minneapolis or that, words to that effect. I thought it was a mistake. I recognize that President Ford had great pressures from organized labor, Mr. Gleason of the Longshoremen, George Meany, consumer groups, liberal Democrats in the Congress, all concerned about inflation and that sales would have an inflationary impact. So the president finally restrained the sales and worked out some long-term agreement. But to the farmer, that was a mistake. They wanted unfettered access to the market. They've been promised that. And I think now they view Carter as less than candid about embargoes. First, he jumps on it for political purposes. Then, as you've heard me say, he's quoted in this month's Reader's Digest saying the sales were excessive, which meant he wouldn't have sold that much, permitted that much to be sold. He said he would use food as a weapon. He also says he'd be across the board. He doesn't single out food. So that factor's got to be cranked in. You've got the Democrat platform. You've got his own statement about embargoes. So I think the farmers are going to say, well, this guy doesn't have any firm position, even though we may not have agreed with President Ford. On balance, we'll take his view, plus all the other good programs we have in agriculture.
Why do you think, apparently the polls show that the your ticket is doing less well among the rural people in Ohio than it is in Indiana or Illinois and so forth?
I don't know. There was an NBC affiliate poll in Indiana today showed us a 9-point lead. I'm hoping they're having that same movement. I haven't seen a recent Ohio poll. Mm-hmm. Is there any new one out?
Well, our paper does a poll, but it shows that still Carter 6 or 10 points ahead.
Is that a recent one?
It's coming out Sunday. It isn't completed yet.
Right.
About 1,500 people.
Right. Yeah, that's one reason I'm in Ohio, and this is my third trip to Ohio. Not that I can turn things around, but want to reassure those who live in rural America, whether they're farmers or in agribusiness or small businessmen or whatever, that we have an interest in rural America. We have a record. We have a program. And we're trying to get them to look at Carter's non-program. A lot of promises, very fuzzy promises.
Today the government came out with the economic indicators that showed a dip in August. So do you expect that to be a Carter tool against the Ford dual ticket? Are they going to use that against you? Or?
I haven't seen the report.
It came out today on the Associated Press Wire before I came out here today.
Well, I think anything that indicates any downturn will be used. No question about that. Certainly that's something that, that's fair game. No one quarrels with that. But I think beyond that, we've got to make the long choice. And President Ford's done a pretty good job.
Senator Mondale said today that President Ford is ducking the charge that he accepted junkets from these industrial interests. Do you feel as though that's a legitimate way to campaign? Is that a legitimate? You say that this economic aspect is the jumping on the the junket issue, is that a legitimate way to campaign? I think the Carter people said they were going to stay clean. Is that a clean campaign tactic?
Well, we've avoided that. We've had some things we could say, but we haven't said those things, and we're used to the double standard. We don't like it. We're used to it.
Do you foresee any changes once the Republican administration's back in the agricultural programs that could measurably affect this country's economy?
Well, I think you're going to, you know, our whole theory is that the farmers want to get their profits from the marketplace. That's how the country was built, not through subsidies. We only have one big subsidy program anymore, and I don't say it because of Governor Carter, but it's the peanut program. And I don't suggest that he's got a lot of subsidies, less than $3,000, so I don't bring it up for that purpose. But we've moved away from those programs, and the farmers are, I think, better for it. Now, right now, prices are low. I don't suggest they're not low. But I talked with a group of farmers this morning in Decatur, Illinois. They weren't distressed or unhappy. They look upon government sometimes as a competitor almost when you start bringing in rigid controls and price supports and dumping grain on the market to depress prices. They like our program. I would guess we'd have to adjust the loan rates and the target prices. But all in all, keep the government out of it. Get it out of the marketplace. Don't ask the consumer or the taxpayer, and the farmer's a taxpayer, to subsidize producers. They don't want subsidies. They want to raise their crops and export their crops. I think the continuation of this program with some updating would help the economy, yes.
We haven't heard very much today about foreign policy. Does this reflect your interpretation of its importance to the campaign or of its importance to people who live in this area?
No, we haven't discussed foreign policy much. I think it's just safe to say that we're at peace in the world under a Republican administration. I always am somewhat not amused, because you're not amused about war, but when Governor Carter reaches back to cite the latest unemployment statistics under Democrats, it was during a period when 500,000 Americans were over in Southeast Asia. Now, I'm not suggesting that that's the way they're going to reduce unemployment. What I suggest is not a very good standard to use to go back and say, well, the unemployment rate was whatever it was, 3.8 or something, without suggesting we had a little war going on. And we've got some economic problems in this country, and we're going to have to face up to them. I think the answer lies in the private sector. That's where the employment comes from, the meaningful employment. We can't create make-work federal jobs that cost up to $20,000 per man or woman per year. We just can't support that. On the other hand, we've got to make certain that those who are unemployed have something to get them through that transition. And one reason for the high unemployment is because the economy is picking up and the economy is sound and many people are looking for work who haven't worked before. Many wives are looking for work. It's not a constant group of people. They're not 8% of the people aren't always the same age, 7.9%. There's a big group out there looking for work for the first time. 88 million people are working. Over 3.5 million the past 17 or 18 months are right in that neighborhood have gone to work. So it's not a stagnant, stale, declining economy. We're not doing too badly, but that doesn't help those who are unemployed. We just got to keep working and keep pushing. The president suggested that in areas where the unemployment rate is above 7%, there ought to be certain tax preferences given to business to move into that area and put people to work. That's how we're going to solve this problem, is through the private sector, not through government. There'll be some role for government in welfare and food stamps and some public works programs, but the government's never going to solve the problem.
Senator Griffin, about 3 weeks.
Okay. Now, I'm just curious from the standpoint of the local press. I met a lady today named Mrs. Smith, and I didn't get her first name. My grandparents...